So here we are after many more hours of meditation practice. And I'm wondering how you're all doing. How are you? I'm sure there's a whole range of experiences in this room right now. Although maybe there's a predominant one, which might be something along the lines of tired. I think a lot of people were experiencing tiredness today, which is natural, which is normal. So sometimes I like to take what's called a weather report, and what that means is I just, interested if people could just say one word that describes their present experience. Maybe say it in English so that I can understand where you are. And maybe just, just say it out, maybe just one at a, just say it out loud. And we'll try to hear as many people as we can. So just kind of one word where you are right at this moment.
Calm.
Exhausted.
Relaxed.
Arriving.
Curiosity.
Relaxed.
Tired.
Hungry. Hungry for what, I wonder.
In between.
Peace.
At ease.
Light.
Calm.
Nowhere.
In the way. Okay.
Calm.
Focusless.
Not concentrated.
Uh-huh. I hope you're not picking it up from each other.
Comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Joy.
Well, I'm glad I'm taking this report. It's a little bit different than I thought.
Right. That's good. It's good to hear. Good to hear where people are.
Yeah, so things are starting to settle a little bit more. It's arriving.
Just arriving. Maybe some people not so settled, just a whole mix of things. But this first day really is about adjusting to this experience, this place, what it is that we're doing here. You're sort of getting oriented, finding our place here. It takes a little bit of time. But yet, the good thing is that we have some days, we have a few days, and then we'll see. We'll just see how things continue to unfold here. But really, in some ways, we need to catch up with ourselves. And one of the things I was speaking about this morning is that we can be so, have so many things happening in our lives that we haven't yet caught up. It's like we haven't caught up with it all. And so we're still working through in our mind and our emotions and our bodies. We're still working through some of those things. I call it residue, kind of the residue from our past experiences. And so when we come into a silent day like this, we feel all of that, all that's accumulated over the past, sometimes the recent past, sometimes even the far past, the further past, and it's all here. So when we talk about the present, really being in the present, what we're in the present with is all that's come before, all that we have accumulated, all that has happened, comes into this moment. So, and that's also why we want to be somewhat careful about how we're living our lives, because it's always going to be in the present moment, wherever we are, whatever we're doing. And so one of the things that happens is we start to learn how to have more balance, how to make choices, how to make good choices for ourselves, so that more and more, when we arrive in the present moment, we arrive with all of that all that we've accumulated from the past. Because that's what we set in motion. We set it all in motion. From the minute that we become born into a body, maybe even before that. We don't know about past lives or past lifetimes, but we certainly know that when we arrive in this body, there's a whole set of conditions that are going to be set in motion, right? And as we gain more and more understanding and more wisdom about the way things are, we can start to have some control over what we're setting in motion. We can start to make different kind of choices. We can say, yeah, if I do this, that's going to bring about that, right? So maybe I won't do this because I don't want that. I don't want that to happen. And so this is when we start to have more and more wisdom in our lives and can make these choices. And I think for me, that's probably one of the most profound aspect of the teachings is to understand how I actually have choice in my life. And I can make choices for that which is good, that which is loving, that which is going to bring about harmony, that which is going to bring about more connection, that which is going to bring about more awareness, and not choose so much the things that are not going to support my life in the way that I want it to be. And so more and more I can navigate, I can take charge in my life in that way, because I'm more aware, I'm more awake of how I'm moving moment to moment to moment, what's happening moment to moment. And today you've already had many opportunities to make choices. You've had a chance to decide, well, do I want to take a rest, or do I want to take a walk, or how much do I want to eat, or how long do I want to sit in my meditation? How fast do I want to go? How slow do I want to go? All day long, we're making choices. And the more awareness we bring, the more listening, the more attention, the more listening here in this body, in this mind, then we can make good choices that really support our awareness, that can support our awakening of our heart, our love, and balance, more and more balance, more simplicity. This is what we start to understand when we, in our group this afternoon, we were talking about how we can take control, more control over our experience, that we don't have to just be led around by the thinking mind, by this restless mind, and the disturbing emotions that can follow because of this restless mind. That we can start to find what I call the control panel. We know how to navigate the control panel, and we can sometimes find that off switch. You turn it off or turn it on, depending on what I want to turn on and what I want to turn off. But we can start to play with that more. And I said in the group that one of the things the Buddha said that I love so much, that's given me a lot of inspiration,
is when the Buddha said in one of his discourses, he said, I am the master of my mind. I think the thoughts I want to think, and I don't think the thoughts I don't want to think. I am the master of my mind. That sounds good? Right? So there's a way that we know how to work the controls. We know the control panel. And we begin to make these good choices. We go this way instead of that way, or we go that way instead of this way, because we know that it's going to support our mindfulness, our wisdom, our love, our compassion. We make choices for the good, choices for harmony, choices for awareness. And this is really what we're practicing here. And I like having this open time in the afternoon, because I think it's really an opportunity for us to find more of that inner authority, or our own inner teacher, our inner guide, where we really are asked to make these choices for ourselves. How am I going to spend that time? I have this hour and 45 minutes, and nobody's telling me what to do. Right? And we might say, I wish somebody would tell me what to do. I've often had that thought when I've practiced in that way. I thought, I don't know what to do. Tell me what to do. And it's really good, because it asks me, what do I want to do? What do I think is the best thing? No, so we have to come back and listen and ask ourselves a question. How is this wisdom moving in me? We want to move from the wisdom. We want to move from the compassion, move from the love for ourselves and for others and other beings. What is that? How is that? Because there's always some action. There's always, even if we wanted to sit in meditation, silent, still meditation for 2 hours, we may not be able to do that, because there's energy in the body, and the body wants to move. We might get pain, we might get bored, we might get restless, so we get up and we move. There's action. That's part of being human, is we're engaged in activity. Right? This is our life. It's a life of both stillness and activity. So the question then is, when we are engaged in activity, what's moving that activity? What moves us into that activity? And what we want to have happen more and more is have that movement happen from wisdom and compassion for ourselves and for all beings. So as we get more quiet, as we get more connected, we get we're able to listen more deeply, we have a way to connect with that innate intelligence, our innate wisdom and love that can move us and guide us in our life, in the world. This is really our wish. This is our wish for all beings, all beings on this earth, that we are responding and moving and acting more from wisdom and from love and connection with the way things really are on this earth. I don't know if it's really possible. I mean, it's a beautiful vision and aspiration for our humanity and what could really be possible on this earth. But I don't know. I don't know if we're going to make it. there's just seems to be so much ignorance, so much sleepiness, so much asleep that we're not paying attention in the way that we need to pay attention to really heal, have this a living, healing, positive place that we're living as a human species. So we try together, we try to wake up, just to wake up as much as we can. Waking up out of our sleep, out of our confusion, out of our ignorance, out of our greed and our hatred. We try to wake up out of those patterns so that we're living on the earth in a way that is more in balance, that is more connected, that is more attuned with not only the way things are here, but the way things are there, coming into this wonderful attunement. So the only way that we can do that really is to begin to inhabit our body. We really have to inhabit our body, because if we're not in the body, we're not going to be connected to reality. We're not going to be connected to the earth. We're going to be in the ozone. We're going to be in the air, ethereal, right? But we're not really going to be connected to the earth. And so first we become connected to the earth through the earth body. Like this body is earth. It's hard, it's dense, it's solid, right? And we can feel our connection to the ground, to the earth. We can feel a sense that I am here. And so, particularly when we're doing our walking meditation, that's a wonderful thing to really have a sense that I am here. I am walking on this earth. My feet are on this earth. I know where I am. And it's a very powerful feeling, this feeling of connection, of presence, of being awake, being clear, being in harmony with and attuned with the way things are in this moment. That's what I love about this meditation. There are meditations that we can have experiences that take us out of the body. There are many kinds of meditations that encourage that kind of transcendent experience where we just get absorbed into consciousness, where there's no more body. And maybe some people here have had this experience in meditation where sometimes you can be meditating and all of a sudden there's no sense of the body. You're just in this open, vast, light space of awareness. And this happens. And it's a wonderful experience, and it's very good to know that there is this other dimension, or we can transcend this earth, this body. But yet we can't live there. We can't function there. We can't manage in our lives there. So we want to understand this nature of consciousness, but we also want to know what it means to live as a human being on this earth. At least that's what I feel. Well, I mean, it may be wonderful, you know, to also be able to just leave or to, you know, at least to leave when we want to leave, you know, just have a break. But yet we can't live there. We live in our body. And the earth is a body, the body of the earth. And so to really begin to come into a real and truthful relationship, then we come fully into our body, and then we can participate in what's happening moment to moment, in a very attuned way. A way that perhaps can be led with wisdom and compassion rather than our egoic habits that can be so difficult and so blinding and so narrowing, make us feel very small and sometimes very insignificant, but not in a spiritual way, but more in a deprived way, where we feel like we're not really worthy, or we feel empty of any goodness, we feel empty of love, we feel like we're nothing. This is a very painful, very painful egotistic experience. So we want to start to free up some of the identification with those patterns. And we begin our practice by really bringing our mindfulness into the body. So we spend the first day, this first couple of days, really emphasizing this. This is, in the Buddha's teachings, is the first foundation of mindfulness. That means it's the first way that we direct our mindfulness. We direct it to the body. Because if we're not here, we're not really going to be able to investigate and explore more subtle aspects of our human experience. The experience of the mind, the more subtle aspects of the body, and then begin to understand the way it all works, the laws, the nature of this mind-body experience. So first we really need to arrive here in this earth body. I am here. We begin with breath. Breath helps us return, kind of this, the mind gets restless or distracted or pulled here or there, particularly on the first day, because we bring in so much from our lives and it's still active in the mind. And it has a power. All of those, the mind has a power to pull us into these imaginary worlds, an imaginary world of the past and how we imagine the past and the future and how we imagine the future. But it's an imagination. The mind is imagining based on its own experience. It doesn't necessarily mean that's the way it is. Just the way our mind fabricates all kinds of stories and ideas and narratives and beliefs and philosophies. And this is a very powerful mind that we have, right? And it has a force field. The mind has a force field, so it pulls us. We get pulled into these worlds. Mind worlds, imaginary worlds. And unless there's an awareness and we're grounded in our body in the present moment, we may not see very clearly what's actually happening. We might start to believe our mind. We believe that these worlds are real. We believe what our mind is telling us to be the true reality. And we miss this present reality here and now. It's a misunderstanding, a misperception. And it's so tricky. It's so tricky. And I think that for me, one of the most fascinating things about the meditation is watching this process, watching how I get pulled in. Just pulled into these worlds, and then it becomes my world, it becomes my reality. But it's only made up. I made it up. I'm just making it up. I make so much up. And then I start to interact with my life and people and situations as if this is the true reality. Right? One of the wonderful things about this meditation is it makes us question. It makes us question what it is that we are saying is true. What is true? What is the truth? I mean, this is the million-dollar question, right? What is real? What is true? So we start to ask that when we're doing our meditation practice, because the mind will want to tell us all kinds of things about ourselves and about other people and about situations and about the world. And sometimes it can be very catastrophic, you know, apocalyptic. You know, it's just all going to crash and burn, right? Depending the kind of mind that we have. You know, some people go into that, you know. Some people go into it's all wonderful. It's all wonderful. You know, I mean, these are the extremes, you know, two extremes, right? But the mind moves, it travels into all these different kinds of scenarios, and we forget what's real. We forget what's real. And so here we're just coming back again and again. We start with the breath. Just feel a simple breath in the body, in this present moment. And it's real, but only for an instant. And then it changes. It's a different breath. The next breath is a different breath. Has a whole different kind of feeling, a different quality. There are short breaths and long breaths and rough breaths and soft breaths and deep breaths and shallow breaths and all kinds of breaths. Always changing. So in this moment, just this moment, what's it like? When we're just here for that. Or maybe it's a sound. Just one moment, a sound. And here we have these lovely birds. It's so nice, I guess, because of all the trees. You know, and they're really singing to us. Most of the day, it seems, they're even what I would call night, because you don't really have night. So the birds just keep singing. Do the birds sleep? Do they? Because where I live, the birds only sing for a short period of time. Here they seem to be singing longer. And also, I had the experience this morning when the wind was really blowing and the rain was blowing and it was hitting up against the building and everything was very loud. The birds were still singing. And I have never experienced that before. Because where I live, when there's a storm, you don't hear any birds. They're very quiet. They're all hiding in their bushes. But here, there's this big storm and the birds are just singing away. I almost had to, it was almost like a dream, because it didn't seem like any reality that I have ever experienced before. So I was like, oh, like is there a storm, or do the birds know there's a storm, or the birds don't care that there's a storm? And it was very, you know, very beautiful just to be so attuned, listening to the wind, listening to the rain, listening to the singing of the birds. Just that mindful, the mindful of that experience. Yeah. So we can use these simple moments. It's just a moment. And it helps us come back. This is what we call waking up. We wake up because it's really happening. It's not, the mind isn't making it up, even though I had to be sure my mind wasn't making that up. But the mind isn't making it up. It's real. Earth, air, fire, water. It's real. In fact, it's the most real fundamental aspect of our life are these elements, four elements of earth, air, fire, water. And sometimes we can break our experience down just to that. Earth is hard, dense, solid. We can feel that, the pressure, the hardness, the density. Air is light, the wind, space, spacious, kind of empty, vast. Fire is hot, heat, warm, is kind of aliveness. Earth, air, fire, water, very fluid, flowing, not solid, the opposite of earth. Yet something substantial in water. Right? This is so fundamental. And we can start to feel our experience in this way, in this present moment. And this helps us to return, because that's really what we're wanting to practice with here, is this returning. Because the mind is so powerful, the forces of the mind to pull us into these imaginary worlds is so strong. I was talking to somebody today just, you know, about how that force field is so strong to pull us away, and yet in our meditation, we're setting up the opposite force field. So the current is going one way, the mind pulling us this way, and the meditation, when we set it in motion with awareness and wisdom, we start to set the current in another way. We're pulling the opposite back here. And so we need to set up an opposite force field to this mind. Sometimes we call it going against the current, against the stream. In America, there's one fellow named Noah Levine who has his whole meditation community is called Against the Stream. Going against the stream, because that's really what we need to be doing. We have to set up something that's going to go against the mainstream, the conventional stream, the direction that most of life is pulling us in this world, which really is pulled through greed and hatred and confusion, disconnection. It pulls us, and we have to pull it in a different way. Pull it back into presence, awareness, wisdom, and love, and connection. That's what we're creating, this force field of awareness, wisdom, and love. So this is where we begin. We have to gather, we have to pull things back here, because things just going this way and that way and over here, and we just, things get dispersed, fragmented. So we're pulling back, gathering back. Sometimes we talk about the meditation as just gathering the mind and the body in one place. We know that we're here, one place, just here, rather than over there and over there and over there and over there. This is where we begin, this gathering, this unifying. We also speak about that as concentration. It's a concentration. When we just come back, we come back, we come back. It begins to focus the mind, to concentrate the mind, unify the mind. And then we can begin. This is just the beginning. Then we can begin. You know, that's, we have to first get here. We first get here. And then we can really do our practice. Then we can really start to investigate really look deeply into the way things are. I don't know if I read this story last year, but I like it very much, and it's the story of the monkey and the river. I'll just read the story and then we can talk about it a little bit. It is said a great Zen teacher asked a student to sit by a stream until he heard all that the water had to teach. After days of bending his mind around the scene, a small monkey happened to come by, and in one bound of joy, the monkey splashed about in the stream, in the river. And then the student cried. And he returned to his teacher, and when he told the Zen master what happened, the Zen master scolded his student and said, "The monkey heard, you just listened." Mm-hmm. The monkey heard, you just listened. So the student is sitting by the side of the river, trying to listen to what the river had to teach, what the water had to teach, and he just sitting there and sitting there and sitting there. And then when he saw the monkey jumping in the river and splashing all about, then he went, "Oh, the monkey understood. I didn't." He said, "The monkey understood. I didn't understand." And so it's really saying that we have to jump in to the river of life. We have to jump in to the stream of life. What does that mean? What does that look like? What does that feel like? So we're not just sitting back, kind of doing our practice, you know, watching our breath, you know, listening to sounds. Like, what if we really enter in fully to our experience? But I don't think we can do that unless all of ourself is there. No part left out. No part left out. We bring all of ourselves. It means all of our mind, all of our body, all of our experiences. Everything's here. Everything's here. We don't push anything away. We don't even look for certain kinds of experiences. We sit and we pay attention, what's here? And then see if we can really feel very directly, very immediately, what's happening? What's happening in the body? What's my body feel like? The sensations in the body, are they painful? Are they pleasant? What's it like as I sit and experience my body? What's it like to have a body? To really feel this body, this body breathes. This body has sensations and energy. This body hears, it sees, if we have good eyesight to see. We can smell, we can taste, we can feel on our skin coolness and heat. We're alive in our body. And what's it like to have a mind, to really know the mind? We see the mind, we understand this mind. This mind goes here and there, it's like a monkey mind. What's that like? Do we want that? I mean, do we like that? If we don't like that, then we have some ways to begin to practice, to to return, to reconnect, to feel and sense what's happening in this present moment rather than just being pulled by the mind and the states of mind. So we're invited, we're really invited to jump in to our experience and to understand what it means when we're really here, which means here in our body. This is really inviting more intimacy. When we are more close and more engaged and more connected, we become more intimate with ourselves and with our life and with others. The kind of intimacy which brings about a love, because we're not going to be intimate unless there's something that we love about that or like about that. When there's a certain kind of interest or curiosity, there's a kind of love. We want to know something. We want to know it well. When we look at the plants and we look at the trees and we look at the birds and we feel the wind and the cold, and when we see another person and when we taste our food and when we lie down on a soft bed, when we put on our warm clothes, there's an experience. We have an experience and we can become intimate with that experience. And there's a way that we feel more full, kind of a fullness of our experience. We feel full, and in that we might feel more whole, kind of a wholeness. I would say that this practice really is one of restoring wholeness, restoring the sense of, I am here. I know where I am. Of course, one of the difficulties is that as we open and as we are present with experience, it also means that there are experiences that come that are difficult and that are challenging and that are painful. This body has painful experiences. These emotions have painful emotions. The mind can fabricate painful memories, painful stories. So much of our practice, as we open and we're interested in becoming more engaged with experience as it is, it means we also open to what's not so easy. And this is our challenge, because we want what feels good, but we don't want what doesn't feel good. Keep that away. I'll take what's good, but I don't want what isn't good. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. So we learn, and we'll speak more about this. We'll speak more about this piece, you know, how to open. When we open, it's not just opening to what's beautiful and what feels good, but also to be able to stay present to life that flows through, that isn't so easy to be with. Right? This is a challenge. This is our challenge. But the more that we strengthen this force field of awareness and wisdom and love, we can't actually turn back. And I think all of you probably have some taste of this. We can't go back. We can't pull the blanket back over our head and say, no, I don't want to see it anymore. Because when our heart starts to open and our mind starts to open, we want to see the truth. We want to know the truth. And so that the force of that wisdom and that awareness and that love starts to
push us into life more and more and more. My image for that always is when there is some land that is, they pour concrete over, they pave it over to make a road or a sidewalk, or they pave over the earth. What you'll see is there's often cracks in the pavement or in the cement, and then the flowers come through. Right? The flowers come through the cracks. Because life is pushing through. Life is always pushing through. It can't really be covered over. It just looks like it is. But things are constantly in motion, constantly changing, and life is pushing through to more and more expression of life, expression of consciousness, of awareness. It's just pushing through. And humanity tries as hard as it can to keep it all pushed down. But I do feel life has a way, this consciousness has a way of saying, we're going to wake up. We're going to wake up no matter what. There's some innate wisdom, innate intelligence that's saying yes, yes to life. And I think that's why we're all here. Because we feel that. We feel that yes to something more than just this ordinary, conventional way of living. We know there's more. Right? We don't have to settle. I was saying in the group today, we don't have to settle for the ordinary. Life can be very ordinary, but it can also be extraordinary. Right? We want to find out about that. What would that mean? What would that look like? Not to settle. Right? So the Buddha says, for us practitioners, to go into the wilderness, to sit by the shade of a tree, or go into an empty hut, sit down, cross your legs, hold your body erect, and set mindfulness forward. Set mindfulness to the fore and watch your mind. Just sit by the side of a tree, go into an empty hut, holding body erect, set mindfulness to the fore. So that's what we're doing. Sitting, walking, standing, lying down. And set mindfulness to the fore. And then we see what opens. See what happens. With this interest and curiosity that there is more to this life than what our small minds tell us there is. So let's just sit quietly for a minute or two together.